You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch, the show for fans, bar fans, about fans. I am Mags, and I'm doing another episode of my Why We Still Watch series, where I speak to people who've been on the show before and find out how wrestling has treated them in the time since they've been on. Today, I've got one of my most favourite people on wrestling Twitter and in the podcasting scene. I've got Clive, formerly of the Ricky and Clive Wrestling Podcast. Clive, how are you?
I'm very good, sir. How are you tonight?
I am not too bad. It's almost like this is the first time we've spoken tonight.
I know, it's all seamless, like just professionals can't help ourselves.
I know, especially with you taking a break and you've come back into it like basically like riding a bike.
Well, nobody needs to know that I didn't have my headphone jack plugged in properly, so you can edit that part out, please. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this is about how wrestling has gone in the time that you've been on. I think this is going to be episode 70, and you were on episode 23, so 47 wow. Episodes gone by. It's gone so quick. I can't get over how much I've done. How 70 episodes of
Wild Watch. It's mental.
So yeah, let's get into how the wrestling world has been from the eyes of Clive. First thing we've got to talk about the elephant in the room, AEW. I know you weren't originally a big fan of it. It wasn't kind of on your radar, but recently you've been taking a bit of notice. How has AEW come across for you as a wrestling fan?
It's funny because on the night of recording this, I'm actually doing a column that will drop on Lords of Pain on the 2nd of April, the brand extension columns that I do, and it's a sort of deep dive into my thoughts on AEW. And it's critical at some points, but there's some positives in there as well. And I started taking notice, thinking, right, I think I should actually give this a watch, is when I saw a graphic for Kenny Omega and Pac in an Iron Man match, half-hour Iron Man match, and I thought, who cares about AEW stands on Twitter? I need to watch that match, and I don't care. So I started watching that one, and I watched the pay-per-view that fell after it. Which one was that again?
Revolution.
And it was not bad. I've not caught the last couple of episodes, to be fair. Things are a bit chaotic as we're recording. We've got this quarantine going on.
Lockdown.
There's a lot of homeschooling going on. And just, you would think that in isolation, you've got a lot of time to do things, but free time is actually quite hard to come by at the moment. So AEW has fallen by the wayside, unfortunately. I thought it was good. There were some touches that I liked that were different for me from WWE. And they had when they had the graphics of the wrestlers coming down, it would have a wee sort of funny slogan above their name. That was some good stuff. Some good promo work. There was a promo before it was in the lead up to the Eye for an Eye match with John Moxley.
One of the guys from Proud and Powerful, was it Ortiz?
No, was it? I can't, the name escapes me. The promo that he had with JR in the lead up to an Eye for an Eye match, and it was talking about how his dad was blind as well back in the day.
Yeah, it was Ortiz.
Was it definitely Ortiz? Yeah. Sorry, that's just me not having a clue who people are. So I really enjoyed that, and some of the promos were really good, and the Iron Man match was just absolutely sensational between Kenny Omega and Pac. if you're not into the psychology that much, because if you think about what happened in that pack, dominated. You had Tornado, Avalanche, Brainbuster DVD, DDTs, suplexes off the apron, a Rings of Saturn for 4 or 5 minutes, which Kenny Omega dealt with no problem. But now and again, I'm more than happy to put all that psychology stuff aside and just enjoy the athleticism of it. And you got that in spades. Big fan of the Jurassic Express. I think they're really fun to watch. They do have a lot more six-man tag matches in AEW. Not a case of Teddy Long. Oh, well, there's some interlocking rivalries here. Let's have a six-man tag. It's six-man tags for the sake of six-man tags.
Yeah.
And they're good to watch. The women's side of things, not so great so far still. Just trying to see. Because I've not seen the last couple of weeks, I'm not sure exactly what's happening with John Moxley.
He's still the champion. The last couple of episodes have been kind of filmed behind closed doors almost. The only crowd that they've had has been the rest of the wrestlers. And the last episode, I'm sure, there was actually no crowd at all. Mm-hmm. And I think John Moxley's like moving into a program with Jake Hager.
Right.
He came out on the last episode of Dark and choked out John Moxley. So I think that's the kind of the place where they're going with it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair as well at the moment to judge them. Same with WWE, because they've kind of got their backs against the wall with this quarantine stuff, mm-hmm. doing behind closed doors. And there's been a lot of hoo-ha online about WrestleMania still going ahead. At the end of the day, we're still getting wrestling. It's new content. The fans aren't in the arena. Okay. There are people in real life who are dying, losing jobs, having to look after old loved ones and sick loved ones. So when people are moaning about wrestling just now, it's like, why bother getting in such a fuss about it? Just mm-hmm. enjoy the fact that you've got new wrestling. And with AEW, they're still managing to do stuff. I'm not sure how it's going to go over the next couple of weeks, because the crackdowns seem to be getting worse and worse in America, especially. I know that it has been dominated by Matt Hardy and Luke Harper's debuts recently.
Yeah.
And they've been the buzz at the moment. What were your thoughts on the Matt Hardy infamous drone segment?
I thought the drone part was fun. I thought when Chris Jericho was kind of cutting a promo on the drone, saying that he hated the drone and he'll never amount to anything in this business. I thought that was fun. I enjoyed the kind of the holograms that they were projecting, where Matt looked like he was jumping all over the arena.
Yes.
The in-ring promo, I enjoyed it because of who the guys are, but I think it felt like they were flying by the seat of the pants, if you know what I mean. It was. And then I've read recently that they actually re-recorded it because Jericho wasn't happy with what they put out. Uh-huh. And the version that went out was literally recorded 10 minutes before the show actually went to air. So, yeah, that kind of didn't sit well with me. But like you said, you can't really give them a lot of grief for it, because they are working with these massive constraints in terms of this lockdown. Going on to the Luke Harper one, I know you haven't give your opinion on that yet, but I think it was a bad way for him to be introduced. I don't like how it's again digging at WWE with the kind of Vince McMahon character.
I
understand his frustration. He obviously spent a lot of time basically sat on a contract that kept getting extended because of injuries. But yeah, it's just, I don't get it. I don't get why that was the character, especially when you look at what the Dark Order was building up to. It doesn't seem that a Vince McMahon style character fits with what they were aiming for. And again, it seems like it's fly by the seat of your pants style booking.
The issues that I've got with the Luke Harper stuff are, like you said, it's more digs at WWE. And shortly after Super Showdown, which just got my back up big time because of the whole Goldberg Bray Wyatt stuff. I don't want to be reminded of WWE sometimes.
Yeah.
Although I come across as a big fan, and I am a lot of the times, and I'm very tolerant of the random stuff that goes on the main roster, I'm content with my WWE. But there are times when I just don't want to be dealing with it. And then you've got stuff on AEW with Luke Harper doing the Vince McMahon stuff, which is weird because I've less of an issue with that than I have with his Twitter game when he became announced as the Exalted One. Because mm-hmm. he's supposed to be this big looming figure. How would you describe it? Like an Exalted One, someone who you worship.
Yeah, lack of higher power.
Someone who's got gravitas. Yeah. And he's got Dark Uno, or sorry, Evil Uno, being his secretary online, reminding him what day of the week it is. I thought, that's not really a great start to being the Exalted One, a cult leader.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think I liked the Dark Order since they came to AEW, and a lot of people kind of didn't get on board, but I knew that there was kind of some potential there. And then they kind of switched up a little bit and did this cult style following. And I just don't think having someone who's acting like Vince McMahon, it doesn't come across as cultish, if you understand what I mean. Yeah. Especially when they're all like, we are one, be part of us, and then he's there lording it over two of his underlings. It just kind of was a bit of a disconnect for me. Hopefully they'll be able to pull it back in, and they have been able to do that with a lot of the stuff, especially with the storylines with the Nightmare Collective. They knew it wasn't working, so they kind of scrapped it. And they have been able to kind of alter stuff on the fly like that. But yeah, I felt that Dark Order was going somewhere, and this is kind of like a misfire for me.
Yeah, because one of the things that I did like when I started watching the Dynamites was the Dark Order. I thought, this is an interesting pro wrestling angle, and Evil Uno behind the mask, he could literally hide behind a mask, and he came across as a sort of intimidating figure, and he seems to be devalued now mm-hmm. for something of a comedy act.
Yeah,
and I don't think it meshes well. And I think Luke Harper was underutilized. I think he could have been more than he was in WWE, but you do have to take into account the amount of times he was injured. And that was became a meme where his contract kept being extended because of injury. But what does that tell you? He's got glass ankles or glass elbows. Mm-hmm. How long will it be before he's injured in AEW and he's on the sidelines? I mean, I suppose you can do promos and stuff like that. And it kind of, when we had the Bludgeon Brothers as well, it might not have been what Luke Harper wanted, but they had a tag team title reign, a dominant one, which sort of culminated in a win against New Day and the Usos, might I add. So obviously he was thought of well as a tag team, but you can't rely on a tag team if one of them or both of them are injured so often. Mm-hmm. So it's a shame for him. It really is. And we were all pulling our hair out when he wasn't included in the match with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton at WrestleMania, because I just thought he was such an interesting dynamic there, with Luke Harper being an outsider. He's got more allegiance with Bray Wyatt, but Randy Orton's just come in. It was fascinating. And then he was in the Battle Royal that year. It was just, could have been handled so much better. And it could have been something better in WWE. It just wasn't the case. Obviously, Brody Lee himself hasn't taken well to that, and it's a common theme with the wrestlers where they have to take out their frustrations through quips that end up being on the online that get viral on the Thursday mornings, or they say something on Twitter and stuff like that and it goes viral. Just be your own person, don't be the grumpy ex-employee, because it tells me that you're not past it, that you don't want to better yourself. You just want to keep, it's like the whole ex-partner thing. You can't get away from it. And with Matt Hardy as well, I had no issues with the drone stuff. I thought it was a good use of the fact that you couldn't use an audience there because Matt Hardy was going around the bleachers. But then Jericho said, you were just a victim of bad booking or bad creative. It's like, you just had a really random drone segment there, and Matt Hardy's walking about with five different accents and 10 different personalities. That's not exactly, okay, it's fun as the mask stuff is brilliant, Broken Matt is great, but it's not, that's not like world champ material, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I think none of the recent WWE signings, the WWE crossovers will be world champion, or they don't come across as like world champions. They were never going to be world champions in WWE, so you can't really see that happening in AEW. Mm-hmm. And as much as I like Luke Harper and as much as I like Matt Hardy, I don't think they're going to be as missed in WWE as they're going to be revered in AEW.
Yeah, because that's the thing. They want better opportunities for themselves, but are they going to get those opportunities? As we've discussed, it's all up in the air just now. For all we know, Dynamite might have to stop in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's unfair to judge them on that side of things. But what room is there for them to sort of break through that glass ceiling when you've already got an established main event scene that have already, like Moxley, Jericho, Cody? I know Cody's not allowed to win the title and stuff, but these guys are already taking up a lot of airtime as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to fall by the wayside? It's a tough one. So it's just, I almost don't feel sorry for them anymore, because is the grass going to be greener on the other side? And does it feel like that purely because you've got the AEW stands online who will think if you do a shit in the ring, it's great, basically? Yeah.
Well, and with that's been proved with this kind of lockdown, the amount of fans clamouring for WrestleMania to be cancelled and postponed and stuff like that. But yet they're the same fans that are like giving AEW plaudits for these kind of no fan shows, and it's like there's a little bit of hypocrisy there. But let's get on to something a bit more positive. You said you watched Revolution. And there was a match on that show that many people are saying could very well be one of the greatest tag team matches of all time. What did you think of that tag team match as it's being referred to on wrestling Twitter?
The first thing that came to my mind when that match was finished was that Adam Page is a star.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you had all the Young Bucks and the Spot Fest and the kicking out of tombstones and stuff like that. As I said, I can put that behind me sometimes. It doesn't bother me too much. But Hangman, wow. Even I can hear his music finishing a pay-per-view, if that makes sense, holding the title aloft.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan of the beer-drinking gimmick. I don't see what that adds to him. I don't think he needs it. The promos that I saw leading up, there was a sit-down interview between the champs at the time and the Young Bucks, and there was that animosity between Kenny Omega and Hangman, and it was a really good story, just those two, not even to do with the Young Bucks. And the bit at the end of the match where Hangman looked as if he was about to do his buckshot to Kenny Omega, but he didn't. I thought, that's great. That's such a great tease.
Yeah.
And if and when that happens and there's an explosive heel turn, I think whatever side Hangman lies on it after that, whether it's Omega that actually turns heel or it's Page should go on to do much better things. I think he's just great. Everything, there's not a bad thing about him apart from the beer drinking.
Yeah. And when AEW was becoming a thing, a lot of people were pushing Page to be the first world champion. And I admit I was one of those people. I thought, yep, this is the kind of guy you hang your hat on. But I think AEW have played it to perfection by having him not win the title and then kind of build up like this rapport with the fans and build up this basically this legacy of wrestling So when he does become the champion, it means so much more. I think putting the title on Chris Jericho as like a big name, as people, as someone who people recognise, and he was able to elevate that title, and it'll mean a lot more when the likes of Kenny Omega or Pac or Hangman win that title.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The match itself was really good. I really enjoyed it, and I thoroughly enjoyed the Darby Allin Sammy Guevara match. I just wish that was a wee bit, maybe 5 minutes more.
Yeah.
And maybe taking 5 minutes off of another match. I can't remember which one I thought should have. Maybe the Pac Orange Cassidy is a guy I just can't.
I love him. I think that character is brilliant. I absolutely love Orange Cassidy. He only really gets like active when he really, really needs to.
It's just in between that time, it's like these other wrestlers should be knocking his head clean off.
Yeah, but the thing is with wrestling is it doesn't always have to be kind of a serious thing. It doesn't have to be a storyline that we get invested into emotionally. It can just sometimes be a little bit of fun. And I think we got that with Pat, where Pat was taking those like little kicks and really like no selling him, but then giving him his own back. And then when he'd had enough, he absolutely clocked him.
Yeah, that was perfect. Like, for someone who's not an Orange Cassidy fan, it was very satisfying to see him destroyed.
Wow. AEW made an announcement over the last couple of days. For context, we're recording this on April Fool's Day. They're introducing a mid-tier title, one that fans have been pretty clamoring for. What do you think of the TNT championship that they're bringing in?
Name branding aside, I think it's a great idea. Not exactly overdue, because AEW is a relatively young company, but you've got a lot of mid-card stars there. We've discussed Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Pac, although I think he's destined for greater things.
I think even Cody's in the tournament as well.
Right, I'm not sure. I didn't know who the actual tournament thing contenders were. Well,
they've only named the first half of the block, and I think we're getting Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin for one, and then Cody might have Sean Spears, I think it is.
Right, well, I didn't realise there was an actual tournament for it. I just heard about the title being announced, so that's interesting. I think I'll tune in for them, especially if we've got another Allin Guevara showdown. But I think a mid-card title is needed, because you're starting to get a pretty swollen roster there. Mm-hmm. There are enough mid-card acts to start vying for it, I think. Because the main event scene, you know who's involved in it, and it's going to be like that for some time. So we're not overdue, that's not the right word, but it's perfect timing, let's say that. And especially, I think it's a good thing for them to do during this time of uncertainty. That it's like, right, we've got this title, we've got enough matches and creative to keep us going for a good 3, 4, maybe even 5 weeks of TV. It's a good time for it. Well, I'm always a fan of a tournament.
Yep.
And I think mid-card championships have value and merit in companies, because you've got these people that should be recognised. And people think that titles are props. They are props, but people in charge don't think that. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
the name's a random one, but what can you do?
Yeah, I read I think it was a Cultaholic, and they had a talk with, I think it was Hurricane Helms, and he said he went to Vince McMahon and said about changing the name of the Cruiserweight title to the CW title. And back then, that was when there was on the channel CW. Uh-huh. And Vince McMahon absolutely hated the idea. He said, you should never have a title named after the channel, because you never know when you're going to move on. Now, obviously, that's not very likely with AEW, but yeah, it's I wouldn't have called it that, but I do believe that they needed a mid-card title. I'm surprised they didn't actually go for a trios title just for that kind of unique factor especially in US wrestling. I know they have them a lot in Japan and Mexico, but yeah, I thought they had enough factions where they could have fitted a trios title in.
And the trios title was very over in Lucha Underground. It was a prominent sort of way to start creative and get wrestlers involved. So I would have liked to see that, especially considering their six-man tag matches are very exciting.
Yeah.
But one sort of, you can say the TNT is tied in with the channel, but their program is called Dynamite, so there is that tie-in as well.
Yeah, I suppose. Wowie Watch is proud to be working with Powerslam.tv. You can use our code MAGS to get yourself a 30-day free trial and watch up to 4,000 hours of quality independent wrestling content. Just make sure you sign up with your laptop for the code to work, and then after that you can download the Android app or the App Store app and watch this amazing content from Powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
How do you feel that NXT has taken on this challenge of AEW? Obviously, they're the WWE brand that's facing AEW head-on, and we all know that Big things are being made of the ratings, and the AEW are 20 plus weeks in front. But how do you think that, in terms of wrestling, that NXT has took on the challenge of AEW?
I think they've done a fantastic job. When it was the sort of 1 hour taping schedule, I was not in a rush to. I would have, just watch it on the network on the Thursday nights or something, or if I had time, I would watch it in the morning. But now I feel as if, not because of the ratings, well, Triple H's side of things is we need to get the ratings in, so we need some good matches and good creative. So I want to see it before I see any spoilers, because anything can happen on those shows. You saw Keith Lee won the North American title, Rhea Ripley won the women's title. I thought it peaked. I think it's, I wouldn't say it's trailed off, but it calmed down. But seeing the peak leading up to Survivor Series and the War Games pay-per-view, that was some insane television. Just constantly, the invasion angle of the main roster was interesting, but you also had Adam Cole with the Tommaso Ciampa thing heating up. So that was 3-4 weeks of just fantastic telly. I've enjoyed the fact that they've brought the Cruiserweight Championship over, because you get to see the likes of Leo Rush, Tony Nese, now we've seen Jordan Devlin. You're getting to see these guys more often. And I've been telling people for years now, 205 Live can put on a great main event match basically every week. And we get to see that halfway during the show in the Cruiserweights. Look at what Angel Garza's done in the last few months.
Yep.
He's become a hot property quite quickly.
And his cousin, who you don't like that much, Humberto Carrillo.
I mean, I don't wish coronavirus on anyone, but come on.
Wow, that's mean. That's mean. I think he's such a talented kid.
But it takes out Rey Mysterio and not Carrillo. Come on. Sorry, that's horrendous. I apologise.
He could be the next US champion if it comes to WrestleMania.
I know I think he's actually going to be in a tag team match as well for the titles.
up to press. I won't count anything out.
It's Garza, isn't it? It's Garza that's in the tag team title match.
I dare say one of them will pick up an illness or an injury. I think Andrade picked up an actual injury. He's not in quarantine or anything like that. So he's out of the match.
Yeah, that's a shame. He's had a stop-start few weeks with his suspension and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But other positives with the NXT recently, the whole series with Keith Lee and Dijak. Now we've got Punishment Martinez on the side. Pete Dunne being brought over on a more permanent basis. And they had the fantastic matches with the Broserweights against Southwest Subculture. I thought that was actually the best match of the whole Dusty tournament. So, in sort of separate stop-start stages, you've had some really good moments for each of the different divisions. Women's division leading up to War Games and Rhea Ripley's coronation. North American title felt like it was almost like an open invitation stuff going on. And it was just insane matches with Roderick Strong and Cameron Grimes brought in as well. Cameron Grimes, not a lot of people like him, but I think he's actually been a bit of a success story.
Yep, I agree.
As far as the bringing in these breakout tournament stars is concerned. And then the main event scene, the wrestling Twitter was split in half with the whole Gargano Tommaso Ciampa relaunching, but I'm firmly behind it. They've bringing things up to speed. They were hit a wee bit considerably with this coronavirus stuff. I mean, one of the weeks was just I thought the episode was excellent, but it was just lengthy interviews with Finn Balor.
Yeah, like a documentary. It was almost like a WWE 24, weren't it?
Uh-huh. And if you are paying attention to ratings, I think that took quite the hit that week. But
yeah,
last week it was, they started having matches again, and you had a match between Austin Theory and Tyler Breeze, and I really, really enjoyed that match because without the din of the constantly noisy Full Sail, sort of the Everton fans that are there and stuff like that, Austin Theory was telling a story during that match. He brought out a mobile phone for taking selfies, saying, taking Tyler Breeze's phone and saying, this is the future. I just thought Austin Theory did really well in using the empty arena to his advantage because he took time to speak to the corner camera as well as the hard camera. And it made me really concentrate on the match. So it might come a time where when we're allowed fans back in the arenas, I'll miss the quiet where I'm able to concentrate on matches. But as of recording, we've got Keith Lee, Dijak and Punishment tonight. No, it's not Punishment. It's that, what's his name now? Priest.
Priest, yeah.
Damien Priest.
Same guy.
And things are going to heat up again with the women leading up to the ladder match as well, which will be in a few weeks. So they've weathered the storm, I think, and I was gutted to find out that TakeOver Tampa was cancelled. But we're going to have some TakeOver quality matches in the next few weeks, so I'm sure they'll come back fighting soon. It's just they did take a hit recently, I have to say. But overall, I've been just overawed by what's been going on in NXT recently.
Yeah, and I think in a different way to AEW, they've taken these like no fan shows and kind of made them unique. The one at the Performance Center where Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano just went absolutely demolishing the training section was I thought that was really good. And then obviously we've got the build up to their last ever match on that NXT can't handle both of them. And then we got the promo for Killer Cross kind of interrupting it. So there's a lot of interesting things still happening in NXT, and they're doing well, like you said, to be using this time with the lockdown to further these storylines when we could have easily just had everything put on hold, clip shows, documentaries and stuff like that. But yeah, they're still giving us quality content.
Yep.
But then you get to the main roster. I don't think we can kind of apply that same theory to the main roster. How have you been enjoying Raw and SmackDown since you were last on the show? What highlights and absolute lowlights have they been?
Do you know, it's weird. The time where I checked out was round about Survivor Series, when we had the NXT guys coming on to invade, and you would think that would be enough to think, all right, my favourites, NXT is my favourite brand, I'll want to see them tangle with the likes of Miz, Usos and stuff like that. But I just checked out, and I've not really got a reason why around that time. I mean, I still watch the pay-per-views. I'll never not watch the pay-per-views, probably. But as far as sort of Mondays and Fridays are concerned, I think SmackDown suffered quite a lot in the last few months. Like, I don't know what happened there. And I wasn't even a massive hater of Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin, but that went on for a long time. It's hard to really pinpoint exactly why and where it started going downhill with SmackDown, personally. But it just became... It's as if since the Friday nights, there's not... Because it used to follow Monday, you had the whole, you know, us over here, we're reading the Lords of Pain results in the mornings, checking YouTube for the highlights and stuff. It's something you usually used to do on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. But Saturday's my long lie day. I wake up, I'm not in a mad rush. It's just SmackDown's fallen a lot by the wayside. And then along comes Mr. Drew Gulak, who gets an opportunity to call commentary on Daniel Bryan matches. They had a fantastic match at Chamber.
Yeah, they did.
And now they've got this bromance going on where they're sending each other workout videos. And I saw a video yesterday morning, or Tuesday morning, Monday morning, sorry, where they were doing their workout routine and they were taking phone calls saying, oh, great, Total Bellas Season 5 has been renewed. And Drew Gulak says, you shouldn't be taking phone calls during training, get back to work. And then Drew Gulak phones his missus and says, you'll never guess what. And it's like, WWE have managed to turn something which many would find cringy in promoting Total Bellas and turned it into a comedy segment. So Drew Gulak, Daniel Bryan, that's been fantastic. I think The Miz and John Morrison are doing well. The tag team scene is doing quite well on SmackDown. It's starting to look a bit better. But when, it's funny that when Eric Bischoff got fired and Pritchard took over, it sort of started struggling really quite a lot. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I'm like you, I don't watch it. I tend to get my main roster fixed through like highlights and clips. I just couldn't entertain the thought of sitting there for a 3-hour Raw or a 2-hour SmackDown, because the quality is just... I think I've been spoiled by NXT, and I think that it kind of doesn't go over to the main roster in that kind of style. I think there's been some highlights for me. I've enjoyed the old Otis storyline.
Oh yeah, kind of, I forgot about that one. Yeah, that's
we've took that guy to our hearts as a wrestling community. For me, I think SmackDown fails in its champions. I think that having Bayley, I don't think Bayley is. She doesn't look credible as the SmackDown Women's Champion.
I don't think her heel run has worked that well. She's got this nihilistic thing going on, and the rule is you're supposed to hate the heels, but when you've got an apathy towards the heels, then something's not working there.
Yeah, and then you look at the men's side, and you've got The Fiend was the champion for quite a while. I know we had obviously had Daniel Bryan for a little while, but I don't see The Fiend as a character that should be a champion. It doesn't. Someone like that shouldn't have championship aspirations. And it just, there was kind of a disconnect, and it was almost like WWE wanted to capitalize on how popular The Fiend was. We'll stick a title on him, make him the number one guy. And then they booked themselves into this corner where he was meant to be unbeatable, and then they had to get the strap off him somewhere. And that way ended up being the worst match in a long, long time with with Bill Goldberg. Firstly, what do you think about both the Fiend's run as champion and Bill Goldberg's run as champion? And if we didn't get hit with this this worldwide pandemic, what do you think would have been the end goal of Bill Goldberg as champion?
I wasn't watching Super Showdown. It just so happened that I'd finished watching NXT UK on the Thursday night because it was on earlier in the day when I was at work, and I thought, right, I'll watch that later when I get home. So I'd finished watching NXT UK, turned on the live network, and that match was just starting. And as it went down, as the spears started happening and the jackhammers, there was no emotion in me. I just watched it happen. I didn't throw my Kindle up in the air. I didn't slam my fists. I just looked at the screen and said, they've fucking done it. And I just immediately thought of Kevin Owens in another February a couple of years ago, where he had, Bray Wyatt's run has been questioned by many, but had a lot of people talking. Mm-hmm. I thought Kevin Owens' Universal Championship run was very good fun alongside Jericho. And he had some, people don't talk about the matches that he had, but the matches that he had with the likes of Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins were top notch at the pay-per-view season. And then the match happens at Fastlane, I think it was. And it was not, that was not Kevin Owens' MO. Kevin Owens used to wait for the bell to ring and then leave the ring. He left the ring before the bell rang, and I thought, fuck, here we go. Here we go. And it's happened again where Goldberg is basically, are you up to date with the Roman Reigns situation at the moment?
I am.
So it was scheduled, you would believe, for Goldberg to be a transitional champion again, mm-hmm. leading up to the crowning of a more permanent wrestler. This time it was supposed to be Roman Reigns. Apparently that's not happening now, so I don't know what's happened there. I've not heard any rumours, no spoilers. So
I heard the rumours.
Right, well, I'll wait till Saturday, Sunday or Monday to see them, because thankfully I've not heard much, so I'm quite glad with that. But Goldberg, a transitional champion again, that's when I was like, oh well. And it came at the same time as something which we'll talk about later happened. I thought, fuck this. I was so disillusioned, and that's when I thought, right, I'm going to give AEW a try. And while we were talking about SmackDown falling off a cliff, I think Raw, on the other hand, is doing some really good work. Seth Rollins with the Monday Night Messiah stuff. Mm-hmm. The way in which Buddy Murphy became involved in that, like, it's as if that was that was a plan all along. Buddy Murphy would lose his series to Aleister Black, like 3-0 or something. And Buddy Murphy was lying on the floor outside a Seth Rollins match. He was brought in to help, and he did help, and he joined that faction. I thought that was excellent. The stuff with Kevin Owens is great. Shayna Baszler has made a statement, whether you agree with how that statement was made or not. She was memorable early doors. The US title picture has been dominated by some fantastic Hispanic wrestlers.
And Humberto Carrillo.
And Humberto and Big Bert with his dimples. It's been mostly, they keep thinking, right, they're going to do a Latino World Order here, especially when Garza came along. Mm-hmm. So I think Raw has been really good in comparison. They've actually done a really good job, in my opinion, with Drew McIntyre. I was a bit worried at first that they were just going to keep doing these promos with MVP, but then he destroyed Brock Lesnar one week, and I thought, right, that was a good message. So it's been a good build for Drew McIntyre. Sort of quietly all up and down the card, Raw's been good. And then SmackDown's got Goldberg and Roman Reigns. I've got nothing against Roman Reigns. It's the fact that it's against Goldberg, and this was all done, this whole Fiend thing, it felt as if it was a safe way to get the title back on Roman Reigns, and it just stank.
Yeah, I agree. It was to try and stop fans booing, and I think the way that they've done it, it would end up being more like Goldberg against Brock, where fans would boo both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think that's the fault of Roman Reigns. I think it's the fault of a very, very short-sighted booking in putting the title on the Fiend in the first place. I don't think that should have been the choice. But like I said, Raw has been it's been the better of the two shows. I think the build-up, like I said, with Brock and Drew has been really, really good. Seth Rollins had that rocky patch before dropping the title to The Fiend. And I think he's come out of that and really kind of excelled in this kind of Monday Night Messiah thing. And he's taking the likes of Buddy Murphy and AOP, who were kind of languishing there, and he's kind of elevating them. But I think AOP are both now out injured.
Both of them?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I'd heard. So, yeah, I think Raw is being the better show. But we did get a really good pay-per-view in the Royal Rumble. How did you think the Rumble went, especially mainly the men's? I mean, the women's was kind of almost tacked on that we're either going to get Shayna winning or Charlotte winning. But I think the men's was a little bit more open. They obviously, we could have had Roman winning. We could have had Drew winning, which obviously he did end up. But we also had Brock Lesnar entering, and it's not often we get a champion entering the Royal Rumble. How do you think that Royal Rumble went and the event in general?
I think the pay-per-view itself was good. I really enjoyed the Baron Corbin-Roman Reigns match, mm-hmm. which was false count anywhere. That was very... It was like an exciting curtain jerker. The Women's Royal Rumble, if I was a betting man, I would have put some money on Charlotte Flair, so I was quite happy that she won, I think.
Paul was as well.
Yeah, of course he was. and funnily enough, it's worked out well because Rhea Ripley is the only NXT person who's going to be involved wrestling on the big, quote-unquote, big stage. So it's worked out well for her. The actual Rumble, men's Rumble match itself, I wasn't a huge fan of because I've not been a big fan at all of Brock Lesnar. I'm not as angry with him now as I was, but for like 3-4 years, maybe that's too long, maybe 2-3 years, Brock Lesnar was very dominant. And a lot of people's momentum was derailed as a result. You get Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, Kofi Kingston, to name but a few. And it felt as if his half hour in the Rumble encapsulated his whole run. And it just brought back bad memories. And I know a fellow Scot, a man who grew up 20 miles from me, made a name for himself in ICW twice and stuff. Drew McIntyre, he sort of pulled the trigger, as it were, and got rid of Brock. It was a good moment. I think now that I've calmed down a bit, I can accept what the story was and accept the story for that. It was a very good way for getting Drew McIntyre over. And I can say that now because they've done well with booking McIntyre since then. It's just... And then there was Edge. That was an emotional time for me, but not for the right reasons, because I'm not a huge fan of part-timers coming back in the first place. But Edge, he is on the first show that I came on, the Badlands. He's like one of my Mount Rushmores. Very, very personally affected. He personally affected me in his wrestling career. One of my very, very favourites. To the point where it was only a few months ago that I'd finally watched his retirement promo. I just couldn't watch it at the time. I wasn't interested in seeing it. It would be too much for me. And I watched it again after, I think it was when he came back at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to watch. And then he comes back and the tears are filling his eyes at the dugout. Was that a baseball stadium, I imagine? The camera couldn't even catch him because he was running back and forth. His face was just shock and awe. And I didn't know what to feel, Darren. It was hard to watch because my hero, someone who couldn't move in case he got paralysed, couldn't bump in case he got paralysed, and he's in a Rumble match. And then I think it was actually the next night, Randy Orton did the concerto.
Yep.
It was just, it was I wanted to enjoy it, and I have since, because these closed doors promos that Edge has given have been, you can tell he's been acting since he's been out, because the promos are delicious. they really are. You can tell I'm a big Edge fan. I love the guy. So I've calmed down on it a bit. And who better than someone as safe as Randy Orton to wrestle with? So there are those things that have calmed me down a bit. It's just at the time, you had the Brock Lesnar's dominant run for half an hour, and then Edge coming back when obviously he knows his body more than me, but it was just hard to watch.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the best experience overall, that Rumble.
The Edge thing kind of reminds me of when Daniel Bryan got allowed to wrestle again. We were, every single bump he took, everyone was like on tenterhooks, like drawing in breath. Oh, is that the one what's going to end his career? And I think we're going to be like that with Edge for quite a while. But yeah, that was good to see him back. And I don't get that emotional about wrestling anymore. But that was one of those kind of goose pimple moments.
Yes.
I thought, yeah, it was just, I mean, we all knew it was happening because wrestling social media and wrestling dirt sheets can't keep anything quiet. So we knew it was going to come. But yeah, it was a good moment to see him come back and to be able to do what he loves. But I can also see your point that it's kind of, you're going to be worrying about him being injured again.
I know.
Well, see,
I wasn't really worried with Daniel Bryan. Well, I was, but I didn't have that emotional connection. I understand the Yes Movement was a big deal, but I had started watching wrestling just after that had reached its peak. So when he came back, I wasn't like overjoyed as other people were. However, the bump that he took in the match with Drew Gulak, like, oh dear, maybe he should not wrestle for a few months, because that looked like a royally bad landing.
Yeah, it's almost like he's been given the all clear, so he wants to kind of prove everyone wrong that he's next absolutely fine. So he's dropping himself on his neck all the time. Yeah, it's scary watching him sometimes. But going back to the Rumble that you kind of didn't like as much, I thought it kind of served its purpose really well. It was almost like a two Rumbles in one for me.
Uh-huh.
And the first half with Brock, like you said, dominating and throwing everyone out, kind of reminded me of the one where Austin come in at number one and he was literally throwing everybody out and he was waiting for the next person. But then once Drew kind of took over in that second half of the Rumble, it was almost like this was the making of Drew, and it was like the Drew McIntyre show. So I think it kind of served its purpose. Whilst it might not go down as like an all-time classic, I did enjoy the fact that Brock looked so dominant and then Drew came in and was kind of became the man. And Brock looked like he'd seen someone who could match him, and he was He was quite worried. And the way he wouldn't even leave the kind of ring area without like that panic on his face, I felt that that played really well.
See, in retrospect, it was perfect placement of Drew McIntyre coming in, because it came to the point where, oh, this is just going to go on. And the bit where it came to the stage where I was fast forwarding until the entrances, because I was like, I don't want to watch this. This is just the same thing. Then Keith Lee's music hit, and I thought, right, here we go. They're actually shooting him to the moon here.
Yeah.
They didn't. So the deflation set in again. So when Drew McIntyre came out, I wasn't thinking Drew McIntyre's going to be the one until it actually happened. So it was quite good, because your radar was off, if that makes sense.
So let's come away from actual in-ring wrestling and let's speak about the Ricky and Clive show.
Oh,
I think you knew this were coming. It's always been one of my favourite shows since, I can't say I was a day one listener, but I've listened for a hell of a long time. And in the time since you were last on this show, we've had the quiz tournament, which was amazing to be a part of, even though I did get screwed. but it's unfortunately, it's gone on hiatus. Is it coming back? Are we going to see more of the Rick and Clyde? Well, not see, obviously, but are we going to hear more of the Rick and Clyde wrestling show?
I do hope so. I can't guarantee that at the moment. Basically, it's quite weird how it all happened. Quite a lot of 2019, not a lot, sorry, that's not fair. Ricky took some time out. He did the job to Ramadan for a while. So there was a 5-week spell where I had some guests on and a couple of weeks where I did on my own. And then I came back and then, like, this is public knowledge. Ricky had some health scares.
Yeah.
That saw him had to take some time out, like physical health problems. He was in hospital a couple of times, so he was laid out for a week or two. So it was like short notice. Shit, I've not got a guest on for tonight. I think yourself and Paul actually helped out 1 week for a sort of double bill that we did over 2 weeks at Christmas.
Yeah, we did. That was fun.
Yep. So we were going into 2020 and I thought, right, okay, let's set a plan. This was also at a time where I was getting fed up with main roster WWE, which we've discussed, as was Ricky. The AEW versus WWE online battles were becoming to the point where it's like, I'm sick of the sight of this. So motivation was a wee bit low.
Yeah.
But we went into 2020 thinking, right, let's set a schedule. We'll do this week, something else next week, like a sort of monthly rota thing. And we actually got tickets to go and see ICW's Royal Rumble style pay-per-view, Square Go. And we're standing in the queue, surrounded by hundreds of people. They're all talking about wrestling. And it's funny that we're from Scotland, but we've got a bizarre amount of people that listen from America and Canada, more so than Scotland and Australia as well. We've got some listeners. And we just looked at each other and said, we've hardly got any Scottish listeners in our fan base, as far as we're aware. We need to change that. So round about February time, we started thinking, right, let's get some people who are more known in Scottish wrestling. We had talks with ICW's colour commentator, and we did actually have on a journalist who's made a very big name for himself in a short space of time, Gary Cassidy. He was the interviewer of Paige and Triple H on the infamous BT Sports bus ride from hell. So Gary Cassidy's made a name for himself. We had him on. So things are looking great. And it came again where Ricky's physical health took a knock. And at the same time, this is where it gets private, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but Ricky was dealing with some other things, some personal matters, which basically kept him out for a long time and still do. And I was thinking, shit, 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 what am I going to do? Am I going to do the thing where I have random guests on every week? And I hold my hat out, take my hat off to yourself, Mags, because you do this on a weekly basis. That's how you roll. So much respect to you. But for myself to get different people on and doing myself on other weeks, I wasn't personally ready for that. You actually said, I think you had Kevin Carroll on last week or 2 weeks ago. He said, you can only keep doing it as long as you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And it came a point where I wasn't enjoying it. Nothing against Ricky. I still talk to him daily. It's just the thought of coming on myself when I'm not too sure I can speak 40, 50 minutes every week about things, and having guests on when there is that possibility, especially when we've not got a sort of a stock or an archive of shows that can be pre-released. It was live. So you run the risk of losing a guest and losing an episode. And it just became a bit stressful when I was thinking, I'm not enjoying this anymore. So I took a hard decision, because I know yourself, the likes of Rance, Rab Ropes, the Social Suplex guys, Jeremy and Josh, and Keeping It Strong Style. We know that they're regular listeners and they enjoy the sort of camaraderie that Ricky and I have. And I know as well, if he's listening, Dan Coffin, yeah. I know that he bought a T-shirt at Christmas time, and this all came about suddenly, and I felt bad for these people that sort of, not demand, but they look forward to listening to us on Thursday mornings, and that was getting taken away from them. But I had to think of ourselves first, and I had to think of myself, thinking Wednesday nights have become a chore for me. And it's just, right, let's not say we're quitting altogether. It's time to take a bit of a hiatus for Ricky to get himself physically and personally on the right track, which, full disclosure, is still going to take a bit of time. But these are actually the first recordings that I've done with you, this and the Badlands one. This is the first time I've had the microphone out. My daughter has been using it for homeschooling and mucked about with the webcam so much it took me a good long time to refocus myself. But apart from that, this is the first time in probably a month or so now where I've had the microphone out and the laptop open. I've got the bug again, I have to admit, so I don't want to sort of say, right, okay, let's come back on, because that's not fair and Ricky, but there might be something coming soon. I'll have to have a good think about that and see maybe if it's even a different name, because it won't be the Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show for a while. I know that some of our friends, both here and across the pond, no longer have work for the foreseeable future, so they might be free. So that might help have a more suitable time zone for myself. I wasn't looking forward to WrestleMania when Cena and Wyatt and Reigns and Goldberg were confirmed, but I've actually got quite excited about this WrestleMania. These promos that have been going on have got me excited about wrestling again. I know that NXT is doing well. NXT UK is going to stop soon, probably. They've almost run out of taped episodes. Yeah. But I'm starting to feel a lot more positive about wrestling. I'm still not on Twitter as much. I think the behaviour of some fans at the moment, considering taking into account WrestleMania still going on, it's like, listen, guys, they're giving you something to enjoy while there's nothing else on, so cut them a bit of slack.
Yep, I agree.
But I'm feeling a bit better in terms of getting something out in the future. So I feel as if I've booked myself into a corner here, but hopefully we'll get something.
Come on, the fiend, Clav.
Aye.
Book yourself back. In all honesty, I really do enjoy the show. I think it's one of the best podcasts that I listen to. But like I said, with Kevin and like you said, if you're not enjoying it, it does become a chore, and I've always been of the mindset, once I stop enjoying what I'm doing, that I'm going to stop doing it altogether. And I commend you for taking that kind of time to reflect. It sometimes can be almost habit that you start putting out, yeah, content, and you're not necessarily happy with it, but you just churn it out because it's almost, you feel that you have to. And I can totally respect your decision to kind of go on a hiatus, and all props to Rick, and I hope he recovers as quick as possible. I miss the guy. I hope the show comes back. And I said to you privately, and I'm more than happy to state it publicly, I would always be there to be on the show for you. I can always make time to be a guest or a part-time co-host. That's absolutely not a problem. If that's what you felt you wanted to do. I'm fully behind whatever decision that you take towards recording again. But I do think that the wrestling community misses the show.
I mean, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but even if it's just four or five people that we connect regularly talk with, I know your co-host on the Badlands, Paul, who's a fan of the show, and sometimes would reach out privately to say that he enjoyed the show. Mm-hmm. He even asked for an episode that I had saved on my laptop, because when we changed from Podbean to Red Circle, older episodes had gone, and it was a particularly passionate promo, so to speak, from Ricky regarding the the early controversies around Saudi shows, and Paul actually reached out and wanted to hear it. So I know he's a fan, and I've got a good four or five people that talk to us weekly about it, and I did feel bad about that, and it was a hard decision to make, but I just felt as if, for my own sort of frame, health of mind, it's the right time to do it. Well, no, it wasn't the right time because you've got the WrestleMania build and all that stuff, but just, it's one of those ones, it's difficult to articulate, as you can hear. But I miss talking about wrestling, I do. So hopefully something in the future. My wife has enjoyed having me back on Wednesday night, so might have to sweet talk her again.
She could be your new co-host.
Oh, that would be a great idea. I can, yep. She even knows what heels and faces are, so that's a starting point.
Well, I've loved reconnecting with you, Clava. Yeah, you're one of my favourite people on Wrestling Twitter. Now, this is where we would normally do a bit of word association. But I've got something different in mind for you. I'm just going to go out with it. Let's do a quiz.
Oh.
And I'm even going to... attempt your theme tune as well. Now, bear in mind, I listened to your show at 3 times the speed, so it's probably going to be a lot faster than when you do it. But, yeah, here we go. Fucking quiz time. In memorial for Rick and Clav. It's a fucking WWE Championship quiz.
Nice one. Well done. And it was
That was horrific. Well. So, yeah, we're going to do... In memory of the Rick and Clive Wrestling Show, rest in peace, we're going to do a WWE Championship quiz. So I've got 10 questions here for you. So let's see how well you do.
Okay, doke. So
we, for context, we not long finished recording the Badlands episode. And I don't know how bad your memory is, but that was about the European Championship. So the first question is... how many European flags are on that title belt?
Oh, for God's sake, Darren. Well,
that's one of the easiest questions as well.
I'm just thinking of room available and symmetry because of the belt thing. So I'm going to say 6.
There's 14.
I was close. So
yeah. There's 3 down each side and then there's 8 along the bottom. So, for a bonus point then, which countries have more than one flag on the belt? And there's 3 countries.
Say that again?
There's 14 flags,
uh-huh.
But there's not 14 countries, 14 different flags. Some of them are repeated.
All right.
And there's 3 countries that get 2 flags each. Can you name those 3 countries?
UK?
Nope.
Really?
Who gets 1?
France?
France is 1, so you've got 1 point.
Spain?
Nope. I'll let you have 1 more guess. Spain does have a flag, though, but he only has 1 of them.
I'm shocked that the UK isn't on it. I'll just go for it then. England?
No, England doesn't have a flag at all. It's Germany has 2.
Oh, I was going to say that as well.
You've got France and Portugal, for some weird reason, has 2.
Because of that very well-known affiliation that WWE has with Portugal.
Yeah, well, Aldo Montoya, I think, was the only Portuguese wrestler I could think of. So, question 2. Who was the champion when the WWF introduced the oval-style revision of the Intercontinental title, the Attitude Era style?
Oh, so Attitude Era, right. I think there was a bit of carry-on between Austin and The Rock with regards to the IC title. I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say The Rock.
Correct, it was The Rock.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it was not long after Austin had threw the original Intercontinental title into the river.
Yes. Oh, there's always river stuff involved with Austin and belts, yeah. Isn't there?
Rivers and bridges, yeah. So question three, we'll go to the Divas title. I don't know if your knowledge of the Divas is well known, but which two wrestlers are tarred for the most amount of reigns with that title?
Divas one. Right, Nikki Bella?
No, Nikki Bella's not one of them. One of them is a famous wife of a wrestler.
Is it the faith maker herself, Michelle McCool?
It's not. It's not Michelle McCool. It's Mrs. Punk, AJ Lee.
I was going to say that again.
And do you want to stab at the second one before I go on to the next question? It's one I would have never picked. Never in a million years.
So that means it's a random person.
Mm. I think she had four runs with the title as well.
Mickie James?
No, it was Eve Torres.
I would never have thought of that one.
So, go on.
I'm doing well tonight.
Well, you've got two so far. You've only three questions. Question four, it's about a more up-to-date title, the 24/7 title.
Good, good.
So how many non-wrestlers have been the champion of the 24/7 title? And that doesn't include like retired wrestlers, because I know Briscoe and Patterson and then Mayor Kane, who's retired, was champion. So they have to be non-wrestlers.
Right. Who was this? Now, I know this sounds nonsense, but there were talks of Wesley Snipes being the 24/7 champ, but that never materialised. I don't know their names, but I'm going to say...
No, you can just give a number.
Two. One.
You think two. No, there's been six.
Six?
Yeah, there's a... Now, I'm going to butcher this guy's name because I have no idea who he is, but Enis Kanter, he's a basketball player for the Boston Celtics. There's Marshmello, the DJ. Michael Giaccio, who was the accountant, the WWE accountant who won it. Kyle Busch, who's obviously the NASCAR driver. Santa Claus was the champion. And Mark Rome, the announcer. Yeah. So six altogether. Question five. The Undisputed Era are the combined record holders for the NXT tag team titles with 606 days over their three reigns. But who holds the second spot in combined reigns and also holds the record for the longest single run with the title?
I think that was Ascension.
Correct. It's the Ascension. Yeah, they beat... Neville and Corey Graves for the first run, and then I think they end up losing it to the Lucha Dragons.
Another fun fact about the Ascension is they have the best ever entrance music of all time. Just thought I'd get that in there.
Debatable.
No, it's not.
So, question six. At what event did Pete Dunne win the NXT UK title?
TakeOver Chicago.
Look at you, you're flying now. You've got a bit of steam going, a bit of momentum. Yep. So let's go on to question seven. Who had the longest run with the WWE Undisputed title? Now, obviously, that was only had a short lifespan, but who had the longest run?
See, as well, that changed hands a lot.
It didn't. Six. There'd been a total of six champions.
I know, but was that not in a short space of time as well?
Yeah, I think it was just over a year, about 14, 15 months before Eric Bischoff brought back the big gold belt.
Because you had, like... In fact, I'm going to say Jericho.
It was Jericho, yeah. 98 days. So was, for a bonus
December,
question...
December 01 to April. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
So for a bonus question, can you name all the people who held that title? Like I said, there were six, and obviously you've got one.
Triple H.
Triple H.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Undertaker.
Undertaker.
The Rock.
The Rock.
And Brock Lesnar.
Look at that, he even got him in order.
Yeah, I can almost tell you who won the title off whom as well, because that was it. That's why I thought...
That was the order you give it. Triple H won it off Jericho. Hogan beat Triple H. Undertaker beat Hogan. Rock beat Undertaker, and Brock obviously took the title off Rock. So,
From Mania to SummerSlam, that was Triple H, Hogan, Taker, Rock, Brock.
Yeah.
That was a crazy time for that title.
Yeah, I think Jericho had the record with a 98-day run, and then I think Brock had it for 84 days before it got split back into two titles. Uh-huh. And then after that, the highest was, I think it was Undertaker, with like 28 days. Yeah.
Crazy.
They really hot potatoed it. So question 8. I mean, you're doing well. You're up to 6 points now. So question 8, who was the first WWE Women's Champion and also the last WWF Women's Champion?
Oh, that's a hard one. Let's play it safe and go with Trish Stratus.
Oh, it wasn't Trish Stratus. I'll let you have another stab at it.
I don't think it was Lita. Victoria?
No, it was Jazz.
No. Can't remember much about Jazz's career, actually.
Yeah, she's still wrestling now. I watched her on a Synergy show not long ago. I think she was the NWA Women's Champion for a long time, but she ended up dropping it due to injury.
Right.
So question 9. There have been 4 wrestlers who have had a custom version of a WWE World Championship that they've actually used on WWE programming. Can you name the 4?
Daniel Bryan's.
Daniel Bryan's wooden title, correct?
That was beautiful. I loved that thing.
You can buy it as well on WWE Shop, and it's like $600.
Oh, for God's sake. Smoking Skull Austin.
The Smoking Skull Austin, yeah.
Now, are we good? I don't know if this is on your list of answers, but the Fiend's Halloween belt thing.
No, I didn't put that.
Right, I won't give you that answer then, because I knew that was a wee bit contentious. Now, do I get 2 points for this? John Cena's spinner belt.
That wasn't actually, even though Cena did have he was the first champion, it wasn't actually for him. It wasn't like customised for him, so that's not an answer. Although there is a spinner belt on there.
Edge's
spinner belt.
Which was horrible.
I think it's nice, I like it. One more, let's see if we can get it. It was only ever on one episode of Raw.
Oh my God. Could you give me a clue as to what era it was in, wrestling
it
era?
It was definitely the Attitude Era, and it was around the time that Austin had his Smoking Skulls belt.
My God. You can almost hear the COVID spores germinating in my ears at the moment. I've not got a Scooby-Doo. I'll say Kane, why not?
It's even more simpler than that. It was The Rock. He had a Brahma bull belt.
That's news to me. I'll need to Google that.
Yeah, it's not a nice looking belt.
Right.
So that's actually took you up to 9 points. Doing well. Last question. The WWE US title, it has a lineage that can be traced back all the way through WCW, back to the NWA and to Jim Crockett. And there's currently 6 wrestlers who are tied for the record number of reigns on 5 each. And they include Ric Flair, mm-hmm. Lex Luger, Bret Hart, and Wahoo McDaniel. So the last 2 are the only 2 who have actually won the title whilst in the WWE. Can you name those 2?
So most reigns, did you say, not combined days?
No, most reigns. There's five, all six of these guys are on five reigns each. So you've got Ric Flair, Luger, Bret Hart and Wahoo McDaniels. The other two have won it in the WWE.
First of all, that Brahma Bull belt is horrible.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
Oh, that's bad. Right. current wrestlers.
I didn't say that they were current. I'm just saying that they won the title in the WWE. I didn't say that they're not current as well.
Mm-hmm. I feel as if R-Truth had the title a lot.
You feel wrong. That's a bad that's a bad feeling. You'll kick yourself when you hear him. I've actually got the person who's in second place as well with four reigns because I thought you might bring him up.
Oh, it's not Kevin Owens, is it?
It's not Kevin Owens. He only has three reigns.
I know, I was just testing you there. right. Shit. The Miz?
No, The Miz is more linked with the RC title. Do you want a clue?
Can I have one more guess?
What, before a clue or after a clue?
Before.
Go for it.
John Cena.
John Cena's one of them, yeah.
Right.
I can see the veins in the side of your head, like, just full of thought.
I feel as if I want to say JBL now because... No, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I think he only won it once.
Well...
You will kick yourself when you hear it, because he's linked to the title.
Rusev.
No, I'm gonna put you out of your misery.
Please do.
It's someone who we really shouldn't be saying. I might have to edit his name out, but it's Chris Benoit.
Oh, right, okay.
And the other person who I thought you might come up with would be Booker T.
And they had a Best of Seven series for that title in both WCW and WWE, didn't they?
Certainly did. So you got 1 point there. So you come out smelling a rose because you got 10.
Love, perfect 10.
perfect zero to as Sean Spears now does in AEW.
When I think of Benoit, I think of the IC title more than the US.
Really?
Yeah. I think maybe because of the stuff with Jericho back in the day.
Yeah, I suppose. Have you caught the Dark Side of the Ring shows?
No, but I seem to struggle because we're in the UK. It's hard to find it, but I've found I found parts one and two.
You found it on Daily Motion.
Yeah, I got them last night, so I haven't watched them yet, but they're saved on my phone for future use. That sounds really bad, actually. future viewing, let's see. Fuck's sake, man.
Yeah, I just started watching the latest episode of the New Jack one. I'm about halfway through it. Wow, that guy's a mentalist.
Yep, he certainly is.
Well, this has been amazing fun again. Like I said before the quiz, let everybody know where they can get hold of Clive, where they can potentially hear the rebirth of the Clive and Name Redacted show.
Oh, don't compare him to
that. Apologies. I'm definitely... I'm not saying Ricky is a Chris Benoit.
Ricky Benoit, right. So, at the moment, Ricky and Clive's show is not on the air, but we are part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network, so we've got Keeping It Strong Style, One Nation Radio, Grown Men Watch This Shit, Get In The Ring, and All Things Elite. I am still doing columns for Lords of Pain. They are under the pseudonym, the brand, not pseudonym, just sort of the title series, the brand extension. I've got about, when this comes out, maybe about 8 or 9 out now. Check them out on Lords of Pain. Just go into columns and look for them. And you're at Ricky and Clive on Twitter. I am sure that once WrestleMania has been and gone and there's no spoilers, possibility of spoilers, that'll be on a bit more. So I'll be on at Ricky and Clive on Twitter.
Yeah, go and give him a follow. Pester him about bringing his show back. Even though, no, actually don't, because I wouldn't want to be pestered if I felt like I needed a break. So I love Clive. Yeah, he's a great guy. So yeah, definitely go and follow. Give him a follow. Go and check out the stuff on Social Suplex, and definitely go and read his columns. He's an excellent wordsmith. You can follow me. Yeah, no problem. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. Follow the show at Why We Watch Pod. And a massive thanks to Clive here for being a guest on the show. Welcome back absolutely anytime. And that, listeners, is the end.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.